Joe Bowen is with us now, voice of the Leafs. Bonesy, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you and the boys? I trust you're doing well.
Yes, we're getting through this, and we were going to talk about the top 50 that Steve Simmons put out, influential Toronto sports types over the last 50 years, and you check in with other people at 27. What are your thoughts?
Very disappointed I wasn't in the top three, Jimmy, to be really honest with you.
You and me both, bud.
Well, the only reason I'm in there is I got lopped in with all of the other good broadcasters like Tom and Jerry and Mr. McCowan. And how you three clowns aren't in there, I don't know.
Well, we know why.
Yeah, Jimmy, or Bonesy, we were talking about Harold Ballard earlier in the show. Do you have one positive story that we can take away from this guy? Because every other story told about Harold Ballard is not a positive one. Is there anyone that has a positive story about him?
Well, I remember one time when we were in St. Louis, we used to stay at this old hotel. And up the street, there was a nice little, almost like a union built kind of a main drag. And there was a really nice ice cream store there. Now, Harold, with his diabetes, was not allowed to have ice cream, and he never had any pocket change on him at any time. I think Yolanda had most of the cash while she was shopping. At any rate, I was walking along, and Harold asked if he could borrow a couple of dollars from me so that he could get an ice cream. And I never got the money back. So that was a nice story.
See,
he was definitely different. I mean, he was, we weren't allowed on the charter back in those days. Here's another story I'll never forget. Bill Waters and I would travel, and we were always on commercial, and we would travel a lot of American Airlines at the time because we were going to St. Louis, Chicago, and Minnesota most of the time. So we had what you could get, upgrade little tickets, little stickers. And so if you were able to get upgraded to first class, you use these little stickers. Well, we were flying home from California, and Gordy Stellick was the traveling secretary at the time, and they couldn't get Harold bumped up to first class. Well, Wilbur and I had the first class seats, and Gordy was, "You've got to give it to Mr. Ballard. You've got to give it." I said, "Not in your life." So as soon as they opened the door, Wilbur and I dashed into our first class seats, quickly ordered beverages that had umbrellas in them, and then waited for Harold to have to come walking by so we could say hello. And that didn't go over as well as we'd hoped either, and it didn't change our situation with getting on the charter either. So that was kind of interesting as well. But he was a different sort. There was no question about it. He was quite interested in making sure his name was in the papers and on the television each night rather than worrying about the team.
Bones, Joe, it's nice to see Pat on the list, Pat Quinn, and there's been a lot of tweets about him and recently, and it's just nice to see him and talk about him anytime we can.
You know what, O-Dog, and so many people that you've met and I've met in this business, and right at the top of the list, sits the big Irishman. And one of the great stories I have about him, when he arrived here and the very first training camp we were holding, it was in Hamilton. And all you'd heard in the offseason is what a horrible bunch of players they had. And that this team, the talent was terrible. And Pat came from, obviously, from Vancouver, and I'm sure he heard whatever, and he was getting all kinds of advice on what kind of a team he had. And the very first practice, the very first workout, he came off the ice and walked up to me and very quietly said, "You know, Joe, there's a hell of a lot more talent here than I've been led to believe." And just that little insight into what was there and what he might be able to mold really opened my eyes, and they went from not making the playoffs to making a great run. And just how he handled people. And, O-Dog, I don't think there was a player. I mean, I'd be remiss if I could name a player that wasn't overjoyed to play for Pat. He was a player's coach. Rarely did you ever hear any kind of dismissive thoughts in the press about a player. Never took them to task. And I'm sure that in the dressing room he did and had a lot of face-to-face meetings. But that was the way it was handled. And it was quickly forgotten. And you went out and proved him wrong. And the ice time showed because of it.
Bones, we haven't had you on since the Leafs have been proactive in the offseason here. What did you make of some of the moves that Kyle Dubas has made as far as getting guys like Thornton and Simmons and TJ Brody?
Well, you know, Noodles, I think one of the things that that Kyle realized is that the core of this team and the moneymakers of this team are pretty much the same age. And that in a dressing room, I think, makes it a little difficult. And I think that one of the reasons that he's gone out, two reasons. One, this team needs to be more physical, and I'm not even sure that he's quite reached that point yet. But Simmons will be an effective addition, and the defenseman will be effective as well. But Joe Thornton allows him to have someone in that room that can certainly aid in the leadership and how the dressing room is going to be handled. And I think that's as big a move as any. Now, you can't lead from the press box, so Joey Thornton and Spets are going to have to play, and you would think that they will, and play a lot. And I think that it will be an enormous addition, and it will be certainly another opportunity for younger players to go to university as far as learning leadership skills and leadership roles. And I'm impressed. I don't know if he's done. I kind of hope he's not, and I hope that there's another big shoe to fall, but I'm not sure whether that would happen before the season, whenever that is, or in mid-season. But I think that at least has shown that there's been a lot of chat about, you know, whether how physical they had to be, how there had to be some pushback. I think he has certainly learned that, and certainly watching how the series developed with Columbus proved that point.
I mean, Bonesy, at some point the core has to do the job, though, right? I mean, you could bring in whoever you want.
Absolutely, Jimmy, and they're going to be the offensive catalyst, and they're going to be the guys and the stars and everything else. But they, you know, if you have the same guys at the same age making the same kind of dough, I'm not sure that you're going to find one guy has to be this and that. And I think that the addition of the older guys like that in a dressing room is going to be a key contributing factor to keeping the lid on things and making sure, the boat's sailing in the right direction.
Bones, I've been asking all the broadcasters we've had on, whether it be Jack Armstrong or Sam Mitchell, what are you kind of prepping here for? It's like a Canadian division or nobody knows, or what do you got in the on the slate coming up here? You don't even know yet.
could you pass me my slate? This 2020 changes every day, sometimes every half day, and sometimes every minute. If there is a vaccine, if the right people are able to prove that it's successful, maybe a lot of things change even before January. But if they don't, like my son is playing in the NOJHL, and Rob Mazzucca has done an absolutely marvelous job of having them play in a bubble. The Rayside Canadians are playing Timmins in five straight games, in six straight games. And the other teams are playing each other in the same amount of time, and then there'll be a period off, and then they'll play again. So I would say if things don't change and the league wants to get going, I think it has to play a similar kind of a schedule, which would be a Canadian division, but you're going to be playing the same Canadian teams almost like in a mini series, I think, in order to keep that bubble going. And, who knows? I mean, you hope it's not. You hope that we can get through this. We hope that a lot of miracles are going to be right around the corner. But, that's a lot of wishful thinking. And if one guy had the answer to this, he'd be a hell of a lot smarter than me.
I mean, really, what you're looking for is to get through it. And you know, we were talking with Ray earlier, 48-game schedule, sort of like a lockout season, right? I mean, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it would, Jimmy. And again, it's going to, I mean, the league, obviously, in any league, needs people in to watch in order to make all of the dollar signs add up. And, you know, the NFL has got it broken down so that there's some cities have fans going. Others don't. I mean, they don't really have anything cut and dry. College football, I watched a game from Texas A&M. It looked like three quarters of the building was filled. So you don't know, but and each government, whether it be a national situation or whether it's a provincial or state, has complete different jurisdiction on how things are going to be handled. So a lot of square pegs have got to fit in round holes here in order to facilitate whatever any league decides it would like to do. And then the negotiation will go on to come up with what you can do. And we're hoping that it all works out and that by the new year, boy, I'll tell you what, New Year's Eve's going to be great because I can hardly wait to get rid of this 2020.
I was thinking about you during games in the bubble, Bonesy, because you're so passionate with your call. And I don't know how many times we've used your call on a goal on this show or on this station, but if you're in the building and there's no fans and, you know, you've got a boisterous voice and you've got to call an Austin Matthews goal or something, are you going to call it the same way, the same, you know, same loudness, same everything? You know, would that be a little bit awkward for you based on the fact that everyone in the building would be able to hear you because there'd be nobody there other than the players?
Now, Noodles, I've watched your shtick on TV and on the radio as well as the old dog and Mr. Yep. Taddy. You all yes. have a shtick. Well,
yes.
My shtick is not going to change just because some poor soul from the Chicago Blackhawks can hear me ridiculing him for having Matthews go around him like a hoop around a barrel. I don't think he can. I don't think I could. I really don't. I'm as well as maybe anybody down on the ice hearing me, I'm hoping that people like you are driving in your car somewhere and they're listening to it and would expect nothing different than what we've done in past. So I think I will maintain the same BS, if you will, and we'll just press on.
You okay with the Packers, Joe?
Oh, you're going to bring that up. Eh? You know, Notre Dame's undefeated.
Yes.
I am. Like every other team in the National Football League, we have our warts. And they tend to show every once in a while, but we're leading the division. We're a hell of a lot better than the Bears. It's a great season, and I think that they're going to be in the postseason. And once you get in, hey, you never know.
Bonesy, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Listening to you all the time. You do a great job, and I know you're really pulling straws to come out here with the top 50 list to talk about, but that was fun. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Joe Bowen, voice of the Leafs. I'm glad he brought up Pat Quinn. This is the anniversary of his passing 6 years ago, and I mentioned that because he was talking about the Leafs playing in Hamilton, and that's, of course, where the Quinn family is from. And I'm sure his brother Barry or somebody in his family is listening, so we wanted to acknowledge Pat's passing today 6 years ago.
He is awesome. I mean, oh, you could speak for days about him, right? Like, you know, I didn't have him as a coach or anything, but he was so respected within the National Hockey League, like just colleagues, even playing against teams that he coached, you knew he was that hulking presence behind the bench. Like, you know, his hands were massive. It was like handing five bananas to somebody. He just, massive hands would swallow you up when you go to shake his hand.
Just what you said, Jamie, just a presence. He walked in the locker room. He always dressed him, like, impeccably. His suits, he had the three-piece suits going. And he just, I don't know, he just had this presence about him. And he would never, like, after a bad loss, you would go to the rink, and it would just always kind of be a fun practice. He never really, like, all the guys were like, oh, we're going to get bag skated today. This is going to suck. We would usually get that after a couple wins. Then he would say, I don't want you guys to get too comfortable. But he understand what the wins and losses were all about and coming to the rink and the long grind of a season. So I always found, like most great coaches, he would kind of try to wear on you a little bit after some victories. But after some losses, he would just kind of, it would be a short practice and nobody would get beat up too much. And I think the players really respected that a lot.
Quite a story. Yeah. I mean, this guy did a lot of things in the game of hockey. Pretty good player, you know him as a coach, a general manager, and did other things, and was a lawyer. I mean, he had a full life, didn't he?
Yeah. Solid human, too. Like, just, you know, you could sit and talk with him, and he was very respectful. Like, and that's why people like that, they command space. The minute that you are around them, you're so respectful to them, because it just, he was, you know, a legend. And it was nice to kind of be around guys like that, because that's kind of what the game used to be. And even, you know, I know the game has changed and the world has changed, but he would have been a guy that still commanded that respect regardless of the era, just because of his reputation throughout the league.
Well, you knew when he was in the room, that's for sure. He was very evident. Let me ask you this, because Bonesy got into that saying, maybe another move. And I know you guys have probably scalpel this thing to death, but in terms of what the Leafs should do, or what are your thoughts on is there a missing piece here, or where are you with that?
Well, you kind of would like to always add something, but there's not really any kind of room for that at all, Jimmy, unless you're talking about, I mean, with a 48-game season or whatever, I don't even know how's the trade deadline work or anything like that. I'm sure once they get cooking here and they kind of figure out where they're at, I don't know how you do that. You could maybe make something happen, but I think they're kind of set in stone right now.
I think they are. What I'd like to see, and again, this is more just a wish list, is just a little bit more, and I guess it'll be answered, but stability on the left side. There's going to be a lot of players for that left side, but I'm not sure who's going to be there. Like Mikhaev, is he going to be your second line left winger? Is Kerfoot going to play the wing because Thornton may play third line center? You know, Nicholas Robertson, is he going to make the team? He's only 19, I believe. Like everywhere else, I mean, center ice position is very deep because you have Spezza, you have Thornton, you have Tavares, you have Matthews, you have Kerfoot, and even Nylander could play center. So there's really six potential centermen on your roster. But then you know, is Jimmy Vesey going to be a surprise guy? It looked like he did his first couple of years with the Rangers, where I think he was a 15 or 16 goal scorer. Or is he going to look like he did in Buffalo? You know, is Simmons going to turn back the clock with health underneath him? Like, to me, there's so many question marks, but on paper, that left side still has to be sorted out for me, and they'll sort it out. You know, we don't know the Russian that's coming over. I'm going to butcher his name. It's Barbashov or whatever his name is.
Barabanov.
He might be a player, and he might not worry about that left side. But, you know, everywhere else, it seems like they're pretty set as far as depth-wise. They're going to have to makeshift that left side and see what it looks like from a stability standpoint.